And you're back with the Solidarity Breakfast team on this fine morning, and we're being joined by the CFMEU local correspondent, Emilio. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Yeah, we've been getting some updates about CFMEU from the members' point of view, and thank you very much for coming in and talking to us in this trying time for a member of a mighty union that's now under administration. How's it feeling for you on site to feel that your union hasn't got your back in the same way?
Well, I think, like, I'm concerned about the union losing its capacity to be as staunch organisers as they have been in the past. I think that our industry is so dangerous that actually sometimes we need delegates and organisers who are really willing to push the rules. So, you know, like, I hear from delegates and members about the bureaucracy and the paperwork that you have to jump through to really get companies pulled up on safety issues. And sometimes that takes a long time, but unfortunately, if you go through that process and you're waiting and waiting and waiting for approval to address safety issues or to shut down a job, in that meantime, someone can be really seriously injured or killed.
Well, so, we've seen it, haven't we?
Yeah, recently. Yeah, exactly. And I think the work that CFMEU has done over the decades has really meant that, you know, as construction workers, we have quite a good standard of living. We have, like, a really pretty decent pay and conditions. When you look at construction across the world, it's one of the best in the world. But there's a concern that that's going to start rolling back. And while we're in a cost of living crisis and a housing crisis, I think this is really going to hurt members.
You've heard that some of the bigger worksites companies are not paying certain elements that they should have been paying in the EBA.
Yeah, I think right from the beginning of administration, we've seen a lot of bosses trying to take advantage of the situation, and we're seeing it a lot now as well. So I've heard of companies only paying time and a half for overtime instead of double time, which is part of our EBA agreements, that all overtime should be double time at least. So yeah, it's getting to the point where it's going to start hurting members in their pockets. It's going to start pushing members into more risky jobs and more risky situations. And that's really worrying, that perhaps things are rolling back a bit.
Obviously, strong union representation is particularly important for women on work sites. Could you talk a bit more about, you know, from the perspective of a woman on these sites, how some of these changes affect people specifically from a kind of gendered perspective?
Yeah, so unfortunately our branch now is at the point where we've lost all but one of our female industrial organisers. Which is really...
I mean,
really,
they've been working so hard to build that up.
Yeah, it's really devastating because it takes a long time to build that kind of leadership. And in the space of less than, well, just over a year, that's really been decimated. But not only that, it really affects the union's capacity to build women's leadership for the future. So, for example, there was a program being rolled out in the ACT in Queensland to do with safe and respectful workplaces for women. And that program was, like, gaining a lot of success.
And then, it was very grassroots, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was not, developed by women in the union.
It wasn't all namby-pamby meetings off-site.
No, exactly. And that program, they had developed it and were rolling it out, and bosses were paying for it. They were the ones paying for the members to go and attend this training. And then when we went into administration, that was scrapped. And it was meant to be rolled out in Victoria and New South Wales next, and it never had been. So that was really disappointing. And then the administrator came up with his plan for our union. And one of those, one of the parts of his plan was to roll out a program of his own, which would have cost $5.4 million of members' money.
It was run by the ACTU.
Yeah, and it would have been just for union officials, so not for workers on site, which is where we really need to make the cultural changes. So with this program that he developed, he didn't consult any CFMEU women. None of us even knew that he was planning this. We all were informed of this plan when he stuck it up on the website with no prior notification. And in response to that, CFMEU women across all branches voted up a statement that we put out. Unfortunately, it wasn't able to be put out on CFMEU socials or the CFMEU website, which has never happened before. Like, the women's committees and women's networks across our branches have never really had to ask for permission to speak up about an issue. We voted up to reject his plan. And, you know, unfortunately as well, there's a lot of training that would have been happening for women in our union that would have been done in partnership with Trades Hall, which we're no longer allowed to participate in. So Trades Hall runs programs like the Anna Stewart Memorial Project, which is not available to CFMEU women anymore. So we've been talking a bit about developing our own training programs for women, but it seems to me that that's a long slog. Like, it's going to take a lot of time to rebuild that.
Yeah, and this is for you as a working woman, as part of the trades. It's a bit like saying, oh, we're going to change things for education in the future, except children can't wait. But, you know, people who are working now can't wait. And there was a plan, there was action happening. And now with the administration, it would appear that they're much more focused on other things other than members' needs. That's a reflection on my part. One of the things that coming out of this, you mentioned the comms. At the Victorian branch, the comms have all been closed down. That's the communication sector at Victorian branch CFMU has now been closed down.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've lost our entire comms team now. We've been told that the comms for Victorian branch, we will no longer have our own comms team, and that will be handled by the national branch. And unfortunately, we also hear that that work will be outsourced to a company that is often used by the ACTU, and that unfortunately is very heavy on its use of AI. So a lot of us are not really happy about that because, like, for one, we don't want to see a loss of jobs for people in the creative industries. Like, Mia are running a massive campaign to do with AI because it really affects their members. And also, our own comms team were people that us as members could trust. So we could trust them to put out our stories and take care of it.
But it's also proximity. They're unclipping the information from the source, and they're creating it and massaging it into a generalised statement, because this is our area of expertise, a generalised statement instead of the true voices of members. 3CR.
You're listening to the Monday Breakfast Show on 3CR, 855 AM, Apartheid Free Zone. This is the last 13 minutes of our final show, final live show for 2025. You're just listening to part one of a two-part interview from the Solidarity Breakfast Show on 3CR, which was talking about administration and how it's affected day-to-day life for CFMEU workers, and especially the experiences of women. Up next, we're going to play part two of the interview, so stay with us.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, at the moment, well, recently we've been doing a lot of work around the 16 days of activism against gendered violence. And having a comms team that members could trust meant that, like, women within the union could express our stories of what we experience on site and the issues that we face to these people that we know and trust. And not just that we trust them with our stories, but we trust them to use our stories in a way that shows the nuances of those issues. So, like, yeah, we might face issues on site with gender discrimination or harassment, but we also love our CFMEU brothers. And expressing those stories is not to, like, crap
it's not
on
to
them.
To beat them about the head.
No,
yeah.
It's
about change, positive
exactly,
change.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so I'm not sure what's going to happen with that now.
Okay, and the other thing is that there's been more targeted removals of organisers.
Yeah, so we're now up to at least 11 organisers who have been gone. But we've also throughout this process, we've lost people across nearly every department. So we've lost people in our legal department. We've lost our comms team. We've lost people in our EBA department. So it's not just the organisers. It's across the board.
So they're withering the Victorian branch.
Yeah. And, like, the administrator's powers are so, so exorbitant. Like, he can suspend, remove, expel, disqualify any member, delegate, or official. Members can be expelled for up to 5 years.
Are there any requirements for why someone would be expelled or dismissed, or is it kind of free? Kind of.
Is it a king administrator?
So, under the legislation, it kind of talks about the process that admin has to take in order to make these changes and decisions. But all it says is that he will decide the process in which he expels people or removes people, or in, like, how he changes our union rules, how he also has control of the construction and general division's voting rights. There's nothing in there about the process that he should be taking. He decides the process, which is a really
so
big
a lot
problem.
Of power concentrated in one person's hand is the impression that I'm getting.
Yeah, yeah, with no oversight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he for the very little oversight that there's meant to be, there isn't it. So he's meant to provide financial reports every 6 months. And he consistently fails to deliver them on time, sometimes like up to 6 months late. And it's not real clear from those reports where he's spending the money.
Yeah, we were listening to your speech from the May Day rally earlier this year where you talked about this very thing. And probably I imagine those reports have still not yet seen the light of day of where the members' money have come from May.
So there have been reports released, but they were extremely, extremely late, and they're really, really vague. So it's really difficult to discern, you know, how much money he's spending on things like Quartermentha, who's the accounting company that he's hired to audit the CFMEU, despite them not being qualified to audit an organization like the CFMEU. So what
you're really saying is that what's good for one group of people is not good for another. So, for example, CFMEU, it was considered that the CFMEU supporting the Port Melbourne Football Club was verging on corruption, while what we're watching the Ashes at the moment being played with a great big banking symbol on the front of the players' shirts. Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure that bank's not being pushed into administration and being told that it's been corrupt in its sponsorship money.
No, of course not. And I mean, there we can pull on so many examples of like bosses organizations that exhibit like extreme levels of corruption and nothing is done about it. But
so
when
it's
comes
very
to
targeted.
When it comes to a working class organization, then it's all guns ho.
Yeah.
And like with this legislation, I mean, it's disappointing to see some other trade unionists, particularly from like the ACTU and Trades Hall, who are backing administration, fail to see that this legislation is an attack on all of us. Like, anyone can be put under administration. And watching what's happening in Queensland, we can see that even just a change in a state-based government can have a huge impact. Queensland has experienced a tremendous amount of deaths on site. And that's the consequences.
It can be directly attributed to the weakening of the OH&S elements and the attacks on the unions, can't?
Yeah, and like with Queensland comrades, like we've seen like the Liberal government there roll back their best practices industry conditions, which really improved conditions on site. So one of the big things was clauses around adverse weather conditions.
Yeah, heat exhaustion.
Yeah, heat exhaustion, rain, lightning, humidity, all these things
that affect, kill you.
Yeah, exactly. And like with heat stress, you know, it might not kill you on the job, but it might kill you a few years later. We've seen that with construction workers who worked for FIFA World Cup, that like they built the infrastructure in Qatar for the FIFA World Cup. They returned home and died a year later because of the effects of the heat stress.
It's just outrageous. It really is outrageous. And workers really need to band together. That's why you have your union. That's what they're supposed to be for. We have to finish because it's making me boil. But the other thing is Esther, one of your great organisers, she was in the Fair Work Commission recently. You've got a few things to talk about there.
Yeah, so Esther had her Fair Work hearing on Thursday. So we think that the hearing went really well.
What were the issues? Tell people what.
So Esther was out in public at a cinema, and she had a run-in with reporter Nick McKenzie, who really kicked off all of this. And he's alleging that, you know, she did the wrong thing and
made him feel unsafe.
Yeah, yes. Poor Nick McKenzie being confronted by a CFMEU woman. I can see why that would be intimidating, of course, if you're not great with women, why a strong vocal woman would be intimidating. But so then Nick McKenzie called up the administrator.
Because he's got a direct line.
Yeah, he does. And the next day she was a removed person. She like insisted that what he was saying is not true. But that didn't matter. There was no investigation into the matter. So she's appealed to the Fair Work Commission to be taken off the removed persons list. So that's what that hearing was about. And funnily enough, the Age tried to put in a suppression order on this case.
Wow.
So,
well, they're scaredy cats, aren't they?
Yeah.
Scared are they? They want to sling the mud, but they can't take it.
No, exactly. So now we're just waiting on the ruling for that case. She also has a high court case as well that's in the process. But hopefully we'll get a ruling for this case and hopefully she'll be put off the removed persons list.
Yeah. Thanks very much for coming in and giving us a lowdown on what's going on from a member's point of view about the CFMEU Victorian branch. Hopefully things improve over time, but obviously the struggle continues.
Yes, it does.
And you're part of, and if people are interested, they should seek out the organisation, a collective of community members, Defend Unions, Defend the CFMEU. They'd love you to be part of the fight back. 3CR.